Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Sojourner's World Hub, United States of America. We want to welcome all of you who are listening, those of you who are here, those of you in the United States, and those of you who are listening all around the world. I want to say a special hello to you people from Singapore who have been coming onto our site, and those of you from New Zealand. We've had some really good people coming on, looking at our site, listening to the teachings, and we're always glad to be of service to you. That's not to say that we're going to leave out those of you in Germany and England and in Uruguay, South America. So we're always happy to have you. In this particular session, at this time, we are going to be in the Gospel according to John. Verse 29 is where we're going to start, and we will end with verse 42. So the story here begins, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.' This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony: 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God."' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'you will see.' So they went and saw there where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is the Christ. Then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which when translated means Peter." Now, I was reading this from the New International Version of the Bible because, again, and if you've listened to the broadcast before, you know that we have listeners who speak English from all around the world, so we read a translation so that the words will have the same meaning no matter what particular dialect, so to speak, of English that you speak, you'll be able to understand the words. So what we find here is this is just after the next day or so that Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. And he says in the scriptures, John the Baptist does, that he had not known Jesus. And some people think, well, that's kind of strange. There must be a mistake in the scriptures then, because John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, because Mary and his mother, Jesus' mother Mary and John's mother Elizabeth were cousins. So he must have known him. Well, the word "know" there does not mean what you might think, and he didn't know him. What he meant was, according to the original in the Greek, is that he did not understand who Jesus was. He was now suddenly identified to him. Now, he may have actually seen Jesus perform some miracles before this baptism, but that still would not have said that he was the Messiah, because you can read where other miracles were performed in the Old Testament by people who were not the Messiah. Now, they were oftentimes a type of the Messiah to come, in that they were people that God was using to bring his people out of some form of bondage or some problem they were having. But this was the Messiah. This was Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God. Now, I want you to notice here that it says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. Now, by being there again, now we're going to assume that both of John's disciples were there when Jesus was baptized, these two disciples that they're speaking of here. And John was. Well, remember, in the Hebrew ways, two was the number of adequate witness. And John speaking there of the same thing then, because they did not object to what John said, would be the number of perfect witness. So we have a witness here to what had been seen, and that was that the dove came down and remained on him. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, we know times when the Spirit of the Lord came on people, but it would come on them for a particular thing, and then it was more of a transitory thing in as far as the power of God moving through them. It's not to say that they weren't inspired by God, that they weren't prophets who received from God, but in this case, with Jesus, the Spirit came and landed and stayed on him. And so as he walked out then the rest of his ministry, it was very evident what can happen through someone upon whom God's Spirit rests and remains. Now, notice that Jesus asked them, "What do you want?" That's the question that God asks all of us today. What do you want? What do you want from God? What do you want from life? To get what you want, to get what you really and truly want, even if you don't know that's what you want, you can only do that by encountering the Christ, Jesus Christ. So what do you want? And they said, you know, basically in our language, they said, "Teacher." They said, "Where are you staying?" So they were saying to him, "We want to go where you are." They wanted to be with him. They wanted to learn from him. They wanted to experience him. This, my friends, is what happens when you meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want to be where he is. You want him where you are. You want to be taught of him and to learn of him and to learn his ways and to be a part of his kingdom. So it says, they went and they saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said. Now, many people don't realize this, but Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist before he was a disciple of Jesus. But I want you to notice what he did. As soon as Andrew had found out who Jesus was and spent this time with him, it says in verse 41 of chapter 1, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." We need that in the body of Christ today. We need that in the body of believers. We need people to want to seek out their families, their neighbors, their friends, the people they encounter, and bring to them this very message, "We have found the Messiah. You're not a victim anymore. You can have freedom from the things that so easily beset mankind. The sin, the falling short, the missing the mark that comes upon man has been redeemed." Notice it did not say that he took away the sins of the world. The scripture said he took away the sin of the world. He takes away the condition of sin. Doesn't mean there's not sin still in the world, but he takes away the condition from mankind through the grace provided by God through Christ. And it says, not only did he tell, now notice this, not only did Andrew tell his brother Simon that they had found the Messiah, it says, then he brought Simon to Jesus. He brought Simon to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something here. This is very, very important. Many people feel that when they witness, which is what Andrew had done, is it not? He said, "We found the Messiah." He was witnessing about Jesus and who Jesus was. He even led Simon to meet Jesus. He did that. But then it was between Simon and Jesus from that point. My friends, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that you and I have the responsibility to tell people who Jesus is, to bring them as closely as we can to Christ. But the Scripture tells us that no one can come to Christ as their Savior unless the Father draws them. So when we give out the gospel, we have succeeded. Do not ever put yourself in the position of thinking, well, I witnessed to 10 people, I told 10 people the gospel, and only 2 of them accepted Christ, or 8 of them accepted Christ and 2 didn't. The number there doesn't matter. The point is, those that didn't, you were not a failure. They failed to receive after having been drawn by the Father. You did not fail. Jesus did not tell us to save anyone. He told us to go forth into the highways and the hedges. He told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, the good news. He told us to go say, we have found the Messiah. You've succeeded if you do that. Somehow we've gotten this attitude that telling people about Jesus is like a salesman selling a used car. That is not the case. That is absolutely not the case. What we are to do is to tell the story of the gospel, to get the gospel to the people. We're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It does not say that faith comes by finding someone, telling them the gospel, breaking their arm off, beating their head over, and beating them over the head with their broken off arm until they submit. That is not what we do. We bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people. We do it just as Andrew did it. Just as Andrew did it. Here we have recorded by John how Andrew did evangelism. He simply went and got his brother, told him what he had experienced, told him, "We have found the Messiah." And then he brought Simon to Jesus. Now, some people could say, well, see, that's it. They brought him. It doesn't say they brought him to salvation. He brought him to Jesus. He brought him to the living God. Then it was Simon's obligation to accept or reject on his own. It's a very important point. My friends, if you will just get out the story of what Jesus the Christ has done for you, in you, to you, through your life, that's how we overcome. The Scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and the sealing of that sacrifice with the blood covenant. We overcome by what He did and the word of our testimony. His part was the blood of the Lamb and what it accomplished. And what He accomplished on Calvary, it is our job, it is our obligation, our responsibility. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer, I think it's probably your joy to share with others what Andrew did here. Very simply, we have found the Messiah. You know, sometimes I think we get so busy being the organization, talking about how the organization should have to ought to be, we get so busy looking at structure, whether it be a building or the organization, that we ignore our purpose. Our purpose is to do what Andrew did. We have found the Messiah. And then take them into the opportunity through the gospel to accept Christ, and then trust God Himself, the Father, to work with that person and that that person either will accept or reject. Having done that, you have succeeded. You have succeeded in doing precisely what the Lord has asked you to do. We're not a bunch of gunfighters out there carving up another notch on our gun. All we do is the target practice. Jesus gets the notch. It's not ours. We just go out and we find. I suggest that you pray to God and you say, Heavenly Father, you place in my path the right person. You place in my path the person that you want me to talk to. You reveal them to me. You give me honor and favor with them. You put us together, and I will do what you've asked me to do. I will tell them that I have found the Messiah. I will tell them the story of what Jesus did and why he did it. And then I will let you do your part. Because I know if I do my part, you will do your part. Because you're not a man that you should lie. You have told us you will. And just pray that prayer in Jesus' name, asking for the opportunity to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, to bring people into the kingdom. Precisely what Andrew did. Precisely what he did. That's my message for this session. It's a simple message from the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. But my friends, it is a necessary message. We've been given such a sacred trust, and I am so thankful that we have. That he loved me enough to come for me, and he loved you enough to come for you. And through him, we have, or can have, if you've never accepted him, eternal life with him. Escaping the flames of hell and eternal punishment. Yes, do we want to escape, as our critics say? Oh yes, we want to escape. We want to escape the flames of hell and eternal judgment. As E.V. Hill once said, why did I want to be a Christian? He said, I didn't want to go to hell. We bring with us the message of we have found the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. We are the called out ones if we are believers. We have been called out of the world system and we have been brought back into the kingdom of the living God where mankind started out. So my friends, if you've never accepted Christ, just bow your head right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I've sinned, I've fallen short, I've missed the mark. I know I have not done and lived as you would have me live, but I repent of that now. I turn around, I change my ways, and I rely solely on Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're in, my friend. You're in. Tell someone. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and turn you into what God meant you to be. Even before you were born in your mother's womb, He had plans for you because He loves you. And that brings to an end today's session. So I will say to you, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.